This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome, Carm Capriotto, the Service Aftermarket's podcast pioneer. Join me each week for aftermarket insights from my guest host and an industry first, a virtual shop tour. Use the industry's premier podcast as your personal networking resource. And as always, know that you'll learn one thing. The video for this show is on the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz or on my YouTube channel. Every time we flip on a record button or we get in front of a camera, we're always concerned about advancing the aftermarket and making sure that we're providing you some great content to get some great ideas and insights from. Who's with me today? Ryan Klo, Dubworks, Cincinnati, Ohio. Hey, man.
Hey, Carm.
Well, glad to have you here, my friend. We're going to talk in the beginning part of the show about recruiting post-COVID, which I think is a great topic. Thank you for bringing that to us. And, of course, a little later on, we'll see a tour of your place. If you're with us on social media at all, check in with your city. Give us a like. Give us a comment and a share. You know this is on my YouTube channel. We'd love to have you subscribe to that. That would be a wonderful thing. And we're coming to you live from the Dorman OE Fix studio. Glad to have you all here. So how's business, my friend?
Very, very, very busy.
Let me just tell you that I hear that each and every week. I'm so thrilled. I am so happy for everyone in the industry. I mean, some people are saying, hey, I'm up 20%. Some people are up, you know, 10 and 15. They're having the best year ever. Are we still riding the rails of post-COVID?
It would seem that way. Yes, it would seem that way.
And why do you think you're this busy because of post-COVID? I mean, are people still working from home? If they're doing that, they're still not driving a lot of miles. Are they just investing because there aren't any new ones to buy?
Yeah, to answer your question, the supply of new and used cars both, I think, is driving people to reconsider reinvesting in their current vehicle. I think that there is some pent-up economic demand and possibly some money to be spent. And people are still anxious to kind of regain, I don't know, maybe their mobility. Not that they lost their mobility, but COVID, you know what I mean? You lost some of your freedom. And yeah. I think the car, to some extent, still represents people's ability to go where they want, when they want. And they like that and they want that. And so, yeah, I think that combined with the, you know, supply of cars is definitely driving the business.
Yeah, well, it seems to be a common theme. I think you nailed them all, but thank you so much. And yeah, don't forget, we're going to be at Apex 2021 inside of Repair Shop HQ, inside of a really cool area called Joe's Garage, where they're going to have 8 working bays. I want to thank our partner, Dorman, who brings you this show every week. Modern steering columns are collapsible, made of an inner and outer sleeve. In a frontal collision, the sleeves compress like a telescope, allowing the steering column to absorb energy from the crash, reducing impact on the driver. Dorman's steering shaft is engineered with strict tolerances to directly replace the original shaft on certain vehicle years, makes, and models. Dorman has rigorously tested their steering shafts to meet Federal Motor Safety Standards through press out, tensile load, salt spray, on-vehicle fitment testing, and more. These standards specify requirements for minimizing chest and facial injuries through steering systems that yield forward, cushioning the impact on the driver. These systems also limit rearward displacement of the column into the passenger compartment, further reducing the likelihood of serious injury. Hey, want to know more about Dorman? Visit dormanproducts.com/tour. Hey, thanks, Dorman. Hey, Ryan, you've been on the show a lot. Now, I don't think I've had you on maybe in the last year, Ryan, but wow, one of the greatest episodes that Ryan ever did was 20 Questions in 30 Minutes. That was really kind of cool, episode 561, and on the 400, and a lot of great stuff. So thank you for your continued support. Hey, what's coming up? Friday, Scheduling Workflow, Town Hall Academy, episode 248. Be there or be square. Hey, man, let's talk about recruiting post-COVID. Have you had to do any of that?
Well, at the size of my organization, I think I'm always recruiting. It's more a matter of if I'm, you know, actively recruiting or just recruiting to kind of keep the, you know, the resumes kind of up to date in case somebody moves on. But yeah, both due to growth and, you know, just due to some staff changes that, you know, happen normally. Yes, I've had to do some recruiting this year.
So always be recruiting. You've got an envelope or a folder full of all kinds of resumes. So that everyone knows that Ryan is a part-time coach with Transformers Institute, right?
That's correct.
And glad to hear that. I'm sure you're a busy guy because coaching is on fire, and who wouldn't want to be coached today to take themselves to the next level? What's critical? Is it the ad that you're placing? Is it the interview that you're doing? I mean, all of the above. Can you just give us some insights from your perspective?
Sure. I think a few critical pieces of the recruiting puzzle. I mean, first and foremost is the shop itself. You know, does your shop present well? Is it clean? Are the staff there good? Is the reputation good? If I was going to consider working for your shop, I would probably Google it. I might drive by, especially if this person has a family and you're going to support that family. I want to know about the shop. And I think most shops out there, you know, majority of them, they're good people. Some of them present a little bit better than others, but that's kind of, you know, the first place, you know, that I would maybe take another look. And then I think the ad that you place, the particular words that you use, it's marketing and sales. Are those going to attract, you know, the people when you have applicants? You know, how are you going to filter them out when you do actually have an interview? What types of questions do you ask? I do think that, you know, there's probably some people that are a good fit, but if you don't, just like the car, you know, someone brings their car in and it needs work and you're the right shop to do it. But if you don't sell it right, they don't buy it. And that's a shame.
Do you ever do a shadowing where you would invite the candidate in to spend a few hours in the shop?
Oh, absolutely. You know, back in the day, I used to just invite everybody over. And after a while, I realized that that can be a little waste of time. So I usually start with a phone interview just to cover the basics and, you know, make sure that we're a good fit and they might be a good fit for us. And if that interview goes well, then we definitely do an in-person interview. I want them to see the facility, shake hands with a few people they might be working with. And all along the way, I'm asking, you know, questions that I've kind of thought out to try to, I think we've all made good and bad hires. And even with everything I know, unfortunately, there's still, you can get a bad hire sometimes. So I'm trying to just carefully vet this person. You know, is this really what they want? Is this really a good fit? Are they going to last? Is it going to work out?
How important, Ryan, is it that you do all the talking or you do all most of the listening?
You know, it might have been you, Carm, that said it was the WIFM radio. I love that. What's in it for me? And I do in my ad and in a lot of my questions and interviews, I try to make it, I mean, I'm going to get to me eventually. Yeah, so when I'm interviewing, I definitely want to show what's in it for them. But I want to ask them, you know, what are they really looking for? I kind of come out the gate with, you know, are we the right shop for you? Do we have what you need? And really kind of focus on that, because I think that's one of the easiest ways to get burned is there's plenty of people out there that they just need a job or this and that. If you can get them to really clearly say what they need and then you have to look at it and go, are we really going to, you know, are we really going to fit the need that you have here?
That's an exceptional question. I can't help but think of what you can learn by saying to a candidate, what is it that you need from a great place to work? And what are you listening for?
I mean, I think me personally, I'm really trying to get a figure for the culture. Are they, you know, what kind of work is it? And I hate it, but it happens. Sometimes it's just all about the money. And I think money's important and we always have to get to that. But they might say something like, I just need to take care of my family, or I really want to work with good people. I love cars. I want a place that I can advance. That's a really good point, because some shops have room for advance and sometimes that's a challenge. But I really want to get an idea of all of those things. And is this position, because you might want them, you might really want them and they might be qualified. If they're not going to be happy at your shop, you know, and you just find yourself replacing them in 6 months, it cannot be worth it.
So you got to dig down deep inside the gut, the soul, put your intuition to work as you're listening to these questions, because what you said, it's got to be a fit. But I guess if the person led with, well, money, and hopefully the guys that I work with are smart, all of those are signals, I guess.
Yeah. You know, we had a a guy earlier this year, and he was a Subaru tech, and he'd only really worked at Subaru. And we liked him for a lot of reasons. And, you know, I was interviewing him for the All Makes and Models shop, and the question came up, how comfortable do you think you'll be working on all makes and models? And people are optimistic, both the candidates and we are. And I'm like, a car is a car. I mean, he drives a Ford truck. Like, why can't he do it? And you know what? He lasted 2 weeks. He got there. And I don't think it wasn't that he couldn't do it, but it was just a lot safer. And another thing, if you've recruited at all this year, you may have discovered that people's current employers, wow, they are really countering hard. And they had given this guy 30 days. Even after he left, they're like, 30 days, you change your mind, you won't lose. And the whole time he's there, you know, not making maybe quite as many hours as he did, he didn't want to stick it out. And he went back to what was safe.
That's interesting. A 30-day window to come back. Wow.
I think that's one significant difference recruiting after COVID, is that there is a shortage more now than ever. And employers, dealers especially, they are fighting extra hard to keep their people. They are offering them the moon sometimes.
We just recently did an episode on recruiting dealer techs. Now, that's going to come out Thursday, everyone. And we'll probably talk about it here in a minute or two, or we'll talk about it next week. But there was some great, great takeaways from independents who have been hiring dealership techs. And even though they may have a 30-day window to go back, if you find the person that's leaving for the right reasons, they're going to tough it out. But you have to be able to provide everything that they're looking for, the antithesis of what was going on in their previous job. I mean, that's one of the reasons people want to move in a tight labor shortage, Ryan, is they're looking for something different. You know, and if they're looking for culture and team and advancement and training and the right equipment, and then you could have a long-termer. Mm-hmm. If you're giving that, if you're not giving it, then you may be hiring a warm body that could fog a mirror. Golly. Hey, on the website, under resources, under our keywords, we have a tab called recruiting. And so if anyone wants to go to that and listen to so many of the podcasts that we've done on recruiting and retention of great people, we can't cover it here, Ryan, in 8 or 9 minutes. We can. But thanks for the motivation. I appreciate you coming on and talking about this. I can't wait to see the tour of your shop. But first, well, it wouldn't be Aftermarket Weekly if we didn't tell you what the heck we've been doing. Today, Jimmy Lee from Kukui, Top 7 Proven Marketing Methods. We did that episode at ASTE, I think about a month ago now. I saw a great video of yours, Ryan, on your website. I think Kukui may have done that for you or something. That was a gorgeous, gorgeous. I love your website. Nice job. You got a huge team. I love the way you showcase your team. Also, an episode, Implementing EOS with Barry Barrett and Four Shop Owners. That was last Friday. And if you caught the 7-part series with Barry on EOS, and then we brought the panel together that he's working with, it was great. And then Anxiety Disorders at Works, which was the episode last Thursday. It was a Town Hall Academy. I have to tell you something. That was great. It's not only for work, but how you can deal with anxiety orders in your life as it exists. So we've been busy. We've been busy continuing to advance the aftermarket. Okay, Ryan Dubworks, Cincinnati, Ohio, take it away.
Well, this would be the outside. It's about a 2-acre property. I have an interest in historic buildings, and this building is actually from the 20s, and I believe it was originally a Ford dealership. We found some documentation. The building you're seeing there on the right is the original structure. It has a kind of a historical antique roof deck that I hope I never have to work on. It was a Studebaker dealer. At a later point, it was a manufacturing building before becoming a Saab dealership when I bought it in 2015. This would have been all glass back in the 20s. That would have been the showroom. We recently had this mural painted, partly because the new sign code does not allow for a large sign. You'll see our small sign there. That's all that we're allowed. So the mural was a way to have some fun, but also to draw some more attention to the building. We are on a fairly busy street, not the biggest thoroughfare, but Those are some of our loaner cars. We like one particular car. This 2013 Passat works pretty well. But what you're seeing here is the customer entrance. They would drive into this U-shaped area and park where that truck is to, you know, pick up or drop off. There's the key drop off and a small outside seating area if it's nice out.
Let's stop the video for a moment.
Sure.
Let me understand the mural. The mural is the closest to the street, it looks like.
Yeah, it's just the way the building is constructed that that front is really close to the street. And that's where the cars that are finished are parked. So it does kind of stand as a display that faces the street.
A very creative mural. I love it. I'm sure that when people drive by, they look at it and they find something new in there every time.
Yeah. When you do come, you come in and it's a pretty large waiting room. It used to be, again, they parked cars in here back in the day, but big on the branding, try to reinforce that wherever we can. I don't think we do a lot of waiters, but we have certificates. We have some old parts that, you know, if people are interested in that, they can look and see, you know, what's some broken pieces if we needed to explain something.
Nice.
And I do... I mean, the guys have a sense of humor, so we stock the blinker fluid and it's the season for pumpkin spice. But pretty much the coffee shop vibe. They can work, they can hang out. There's Wi-Fi, there's coffee. We don't really do the television, drinks and snacks, that type of thing. A lot of history in that room. Actually, that they used to work on cars. I don't think it shows it in the video, but there's bolts in the floor where the lifts used to be and a little oil spot. But that was
very, very nice looking floor. Did you polish that? Is it got an epoxy coating on it?
That's polished concrete. Okay. Literally, that's it. No coating at all. It's the color of dirt. It's very that between that and the stainless, the maintenance on this is extremely minimal because you can't really see the dirt on the floor. The stainless, well, it's going to live longer than you or I probably. So hopefully it'll stay nice for a long time.
Very nice. Very nice. Is the are the wearables for sale?
We'll give those to anyone that asks. I never understood if you go to Myrtle Beach and you pay to advertise with a T-shirt. So, I mean, if you're advertising for me, I'm going to give you the shirt, the hoodie, the pullover, license plate frame, pens, reusable bags, any of it. You know, you're welcome to have if you just, you have to ask for it, I guess. That's the secret.
I got it. You got a great parts room there.
Yeah, just saying a larger inventory than you might find at an all makes store because you know, we're able to, you know, only work on a few. That's the office I'm sitting in now. I park an old car in there and it's a meeting room as well for the staff.
Nice. Vintage kitchen table.
Right, right. Walking out into the workshop. Try to keep it clean, have an epoxy floor, hopefully well lit, air conditioned. We heat with waste oil. And we're lucky to have techs that I all love. They're pretty much all A techs, very professional, keep their areas clean, quality's high. Yeah, I think I am going to walk over. I love this guy's toolbox. Man, I think he's 26 or 27 and he's got a TV in there with all the diagnostics hooked up to it. And boy, I just love to see stuff like that.
There's a true professional who sees a long-ranging career with you. And I'm sure he invests in all kinds of training.
Bulk fluids. And there's our waste oil heater. We really try to do our part. We recycle every bit of, you know, metal, cardboard, plastic that we're able to, fluids.
Did you put in LED tubes?
We did this maybe 6 years ago when LEDs were there, but their reliability was a little bit in question. So those are fluorescent fixtures, the most efficient that we could get at the time. We did LEDs outside, and all of the new fixtures from here on out are LEDs,
Do you have a floor scrubber?
Yes, you probably see it. I kind of see it there.
Oh, I saw it. I saw it there. Good. Is the floor assigned to someone in particular? I mean, who keeps it clean?
The techs are all responsible for their own individual bays, and we do have a general service tech, and we also have a car washer and building maintenance person. Either one of them might, you know, use that maybe in the common areas of the floor that you see.
Got it. I love the striping to outline the areas. And is that keeping, is this a lean mentality? Is this a safety issue?
You know, my shop foreman did that, and I think it's a little bit of both. It's just, this is the tire area, kind of stay clear of it. So,
a break room. Okay. Are we going to go in? No.
I don't I don't think we went in that one. Okay. It's another couple of rooms. Actually, I should have. It's really cool. They've got a bunch of workout equipment back there. It's a little like lounge for the guys.
Very nice. So,
and that's the inside. It's perforated vinyl like you would see on the back window of a pickup. So you can see out, but it makes it hard to see in. So if somebody was to come at night, they wouldn't be able to see the toolboxes. And, you know, if you put the light on the one side of it. So, I think I took one more trip in the back here. This used to be our fun project area, but when we got busy, we have 7 techs now. So we're working on cars in the back area of the shop, just literally wherever we can stuff them or squeezing them in. And then the very, very, very back of the building is a wash bay. We pretty much wash and vacuum out every car that we work on and give them water. And one of my clients also did cookies, so thought that would be a great thing to add as well. So you'll get that in your car.
And they put your logo on the cookie for you?
Yeah, we do it, but we stick it on, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The sticker's on the outside of the package.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was frosting. Okay. I don't know. I'll go in the all 9 yards. You know, I was so impressed way back when I first interviewed you about, you know, you were one of the guys who always seemed to wash and vacuum a car for their customer. And I'm just so surprised that trend hasn't kept up, Ryan. And I don't think you need to be a Euro shop to do that.
I mean, the challenge I see is just space. I mean, a lot of shops just don't have the space. And if they do, I mean, a lot of times it makes sense to put a production rack in there. So, I mean, I get the challenge, but I've seen people run them down to the car wash. If you're in Florida, great. Maybe you could just do it outside, but it is a challenge for some shops.
So with 7 techs, what does your support team look like? Do you have writers, advisors, customer service people, shop manager, foreman? How do you support them?
Our front of the house team is pretty standard. It's 4 people. It's 2 service advisors. One is a service manager. We have a customer service representative at the counter that checks people in, checks people out, answers the phone, takes care of loaner cars, you know, shuttle rides, maybe rental cars, and chips in where needed. And then we have a full-time parts manager, which I think at a certain volume, a dedicated parts manager starts to make a lot of sense. But it's pretty much those 4. And, you know, I work kind of in the background, sometimes remotely. And, you know, I work on special projects, marketing, finance, human resources, things like that.
Yeah, cool. And again, as I said earlier in the show, you are doing some part-time coaching. It's a wonderful thing. It's something that I know there's an awful lot of shop owners that are considering it. And I think with the coaching industry growing as big as it is, Ryan, that the coaching companies are looking to expand the horizons with part-time coaches. So good for you. So two service people on the team. One of them is a manager. You have a customer service rep who brings in the client and a full-time parts person.
That's correct.
Got it. Wow. It makes all kinds of sense. There was a question on social media here. Do you sanitize the inside of the car? Use a fogging machine at all?
We have been sanitizing with wipes. We've continued to do that. We never got the fogging machine.
Part of it. Yes, I know. I think it was really deep in on COVID. We may have done an episode on that, and you know, it's been a long time since then. I may have to go up back and look that up. Don't forget, we're on YouTube. We're out as a podcast this Saturday, next Tuesday. Keith Perkins, guest host and virtual shop tour. Now, Keith is not only a trainer, but he's got 3 mobile Diag vans on the road and a brick and mortar facility. And we're going to get a tour inside the 3 vans to show you what's going on with Mobile Diag there and inside of his place. So really cool next Tuesday. And, of course, we'll be at Apex all next week. So if anyone is out there, please stop by. We'll be in Joe's Garage. Ryan, thank you so much. Great tour. I've known you for a long time, but never got inside the place. So this is a great chance for not only me, but everyone in the industry to see what you have going. We thank you all for being here. And Ryan Clough, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And thanks for all you do for the industry, Carm.
Thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.